This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me. Me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
You got it locked in. Wednesday, June 11th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. Pearly will join us in the 5 o'clock hour for sports. As you know, it's Tuesday, each and every Tuesday. Awesome supplement in The Guardian, courtesy of the Grand Bahama News. You definitely want to check that out, all right? And be sure to grab the paper, spend the money, get the supplement, all right? Definitely good stuff from the Grand Bahama News. We'll check in with Sarah Craigby and Darren Cooper on the flip side of the break. But like I said, you know, it is Freeport. It's all about the Freeport Report. We're going live to Grand Bahama on the flip side of the break. And you know how to chime in. Here in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll-free in anyone of the Family Islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day. Right here at Guardian 9 FM. Quick break. Flip side of the break. We'll be going live to Grand Bahama. The Freeport Report is coming up right here as the Tuesday, June 11th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Flavored Island Games. We making dreams come true. Flavored Island Games. We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options, more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetza Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your Cheetza Sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news all day.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, June 11th edition of Talking Heads. Let's go live to Grand Bahama. We got Sarah Kirkby, and do we have Darren as well? Sarah Kirkby and Darren Cooper both chiming in. What's going on, folks? Everybody good?
Good. We're just a bit wet down here.
Yeah, well, listen, man. We've been on the weekend up here, okay?
Oh, were you?
Man.
Not complaining about the wet. We need it.
No.
Yeah, we do need it, though. We do need it, especially with all the fires we've had in Abaco, and you know, we don't want to see any in Grand Bahama. We don't want to see any more up here. So we need water. We do need the wet. It not when we playing baseball, but we got through it. So, yeah, I'm glad it's coming today and over there, but it's all good. But listen, we got lots to talk about, man. Listen, Darren. Before we go today, I have a question that came in off the text lines yesterday just for you. So when we get this all wrapped up, I got a doozy for you today. All right?
This should be interesting.
But listen, let's talk about the headlines in the Grand Bahama News. Once again, Sarah, great supplement each and every Tuesday in The Guardian from the Grand Bahama News. And we start off with Celebration Key.
Thank you, my favorite cheerleader.
There you go. Bahamian workers, a big part of Celebration Key project. And I think this is awesome to get a bit of Bahamiana on the imprint of that project.
Yeah, so this was the lunch that when I spoke last week, I'd just come back from. And this was a gentleman, Juan Hernandez, who spoke to us. He's the one who usually heads most of the updates and conversations that Celebration gives. So he gave us a really detailed update on workers who are out there and how the system's all working. I did ask a question, which we actually address in the paper. I was questioning on the card use for vendors who are there, like straw market ladies or smaller stores. We had understood they were going to ask them to use their cruise line card, which is their key card that, you know, you would use for your hotel room and stuff, and the one they charge on board. We were understanding that they were going to stay on the island. You had to use that card the whole time. And we were a bit worried about vendors and, you know, people who live from day to day, would they be able to do that? But Juan was very nice. He said that they are looking into other ways for people. You know, people can pay cash or credit card when they come onto the island, but that a lot of people obviously would prefer to use this key because then they don't have to carry anything with them, which I totally understand. So they're giving them multiple options, which is good. And also, if you think about it, you know, I was thinking about it myself. I'm going, well, depends on how many people are coming in, but they are.
We got Sarah. We lost Sarah. We still got Sarah. We lost Sarah.
I see she's still here, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
What about tours
there you go.
And stuff?
You might want to repeat that, Sarah. You dropped out for a second there, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he was. Did you get the whole part about the car, the keys?
You got into the middle of the card, and then we started talking about the card, and then boom.
Sorry, my apologies. I cannot lie. The weather's messing me up a little bit with my Starlink.
Not a problem. We'll work through it.
So the good thing is I had asked about people that were smaller vendors and if they were going to be able to take cash and credit card, because we had understood on the Celebration Key area that it would only be the Celebration card. You know, your card that you have when you're on the ship.
Right.
That you use all the time. But Mr. Hernandez was very good. He said that... they were looking at other avenues for people, for those people who didn't
want to. But how many local vendors?
So I thought that was good.
How many local vendors are going to be a part of that, Sarah, that Celebration Key project? How many local vendors will be a part of the day-to-day on that project?
Well, they have a whole website that you can go to, and I believe they're speaking to vendors now. So I know they're looking for a lot of them. I think we addressed it. I don't think we put the numbers that they're looking for, but they're still looking for people, and they're still putting out lots of opportunities for restaurant workers. They're still looking for staff. They've just hired a couple new people. There were Grand Bahamians they introduced to us. I think it was Miss Burrows, who's now going to be head of their accounting for this. She's a Grand Bahamian. They already have Filcher, who is a well-known Grand Bahamian, who's going to be their marketing or PR person for the, and I know I'm going to get Filcher's title
and
wrong,
I think Lurleen Moss is a big part of that project too.
Yeah, they've also got a Grand Bahamian who was at Bahamar, I believe, who has now come over to work for them here. Because, you know, a lot of Grand Bahamians want to come home. So this is a huge opportunity for them. So they're going to have a whole admin side to this. So they're putting a lot of opportunities out. So I really, really have been pushing people asking me about it. to go to their website, because I believe that's where they're posting everything for jobs that you can apply to. And then I believe, I don't know how it goes with the construction. I presume that's with the people that are doing the construction out there. I don't know how you apply for that, but I think to for future jobs on the Key and for restaurants and for having retail there, you definitely have to go through that. And then they're also going to have some job fairs.
All right. I think we lost Sarah again. Some more job, but job fairs are important. I know we got 5,000 kids coming out every year, more or less. So job fairs are important. And especially if they could get on early with a project like this, you know, they can grow with the company.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's a whole, yeah. Sorry, I might have gone off there for again. But I think it's, I think there's really big opportunities for people here. I've been encouraging my son to look at it.
Now, Darren, I want to start talking, but then as soon as we start talking, I know Sarah could chime right back in, so I'm trying to get this. We got Sarah back up? All right, so from your standpoint, though, Darren, I mean, how is that impacting Grand Bahamians? Are they part of the process with this Celebration Key project?
A lot of Grand Bahamians, from what I understand, is a part of construction. On any given morning, I think between Monday and Saturday, you can go downtown, town center, and you would see a trailload of guys dressed in their construction hardware, hat and boots and so forth, waiting on whatever available transportation, I guess, they have arranged for persons to head up to Celebration Key. I've not had the opportunity to go in the back area of where the construction is actually going on, but one of their rigging sites, which is the main waterway, you have quite a bit of Bahamians doing quite a bit of welding and so forth. So It is definitely adding employment to skilled workers with certain talents, in being able to make sure they benefit from the project, and you know, we go from there.
So we got pre.
Yeah, I'm back on. I went on my phone.
But will there be opportunities for Bahamians post-development when it's open for, like, the long term? Or is this going to become another situation where the majority of cruise ship staff come off and work the Key, and Bahamians are at a minimal as far as involvement with the post-setup and post-development operation of it, of the day-to-day?
Are you asking me or is Darren?
Either one, yeah, anyone.
But I mean, Brad, Sarah, take the question.
One of you all are the hot potato, man. Come on, we got to ask this question at some point. Is this going to be different from the other private islands that we see owned by cruise ships?
Well, I do know that it is really not a. It's a facility that is really geared towards their guests, onboard guests. I know that one of the questions we asked during one of our sessions were, would there be anything, day pass payments? And that then was a no. There won't be available day pass. The facility, because of security mechanisms and personnel and making sure that all of their guests are properly secured and protected, that this facility is going to be for cruise ship passengers. Bahamians that will be on this property is going to be employees or business operators on Celebration Key. So that's how I understand the system to be at this time. If there's any changes, I'm not privy to it.
All right,
I missed it. So we're saying, are they looking for the long haul? For Bahamians,
yeah, like post development, will we have Bahamians employed there long term, you know, rather than what we see with the other private islands now, where the cruise ships take off, get to the private island, and they disembark their whole staff. They take care of the island, they service the island, then return. They don't pay work permits, and Bahamian employment is at a minimal. So I'm hoping, since this is a little bit different, we should have some long term jobs for Bahamians out of this.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's four to 500 employees. And they set up to 700 based on the numbers. I mean, remember, they've already doubled what they said they were going to do. They were only building one pier. Now they're building two. They were expecting two ships. Now we're getting four. You know, there's the one thing that is good about Grand Bahama that we have in our benefit at the moment is the close proximity to the States. And, you know, a lot of these cruise ships are also looking to save fuel costs. So this is a good thing for Grand Bahama to have this call here. So from what I understand, it's going to be our Bahamians working at this point. And what's good also, we've talked about this before, Nadi, is that, you know, these people or these young kids that usually take these jobs are not having to fly to different islands or live on these islands and live in dormitories and stuff like that. They'll be able to go home at night because, you know, it's not far for everyone to drive there. I mean, it's a little distance, but to us, it's like 10 or 15 minutes. That's a normal commute for a Nassauvian to go to a location.
Correct.
So it's going to be an easy commute. So I think that's the nice part about it. And well, and for us, I also think for me, I see the benefit for a lot of young kids that are looking for good work to, you know, start them in their career. Maybe this will be a two to three year job and then they'll go off and do something else. Or there's opportunities for them to move far, you know, further up in the company. I would like to think so. It sounds very positive with Carnival.
Nadia, I'm just to add to say, I do apologize. I thought I probably misunderstood the question earlier. But from the meeting that we would have had with Carnival executives, this is promised to be a long-term benefit for many Grand Bahamians. This is not part-time. This is...
And now we lost Darren. Boy, Murphy's alive and well today, boy. Murphy's alive and well.
Sorry.
No problem,
I guess it's the weather.
I think that may have...
We had a lot of bad weather. Oh, he's back.
Yeah. So I just think this will really give Grand Bahamians the long-term benefit opportunity. Now, I do know that a lot of companies have been adapting this part-time work system. And I would hope, which I don't have the details, that these won't be part-time, a part-time program. I saw where the Davis administration would have got the container port to do away with that system, which is good. And I would hope that this would be the same, or this would not be the practice at the celebration key. But again, we don't have that much. The details are not so readily available. And as we get them, I'll be more than happy, me personally, to be able to share them and to talk about them.
Well, I'm going to keep my eye on it. It looks like there's a lot of potential there. And at least you have a consistent contact with the developer and then making yourself available, you know, and bringing updates. That's a good thing. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully it comes to fruition, you know, to its full potential. Other good news about developments we can have. Sixth Senses gets their environmental green light. That's a good thing. You know, that's a big check in my book. Once you're environmentally strong, I like that.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. They're thrilled and they're ready to get going. So I'm very, very pleased about it. I think we'll probably see some action down there in October. I think they're finalizing all their details and plans right now. And I'll be honest, Weller Development is really looking at Grand Bahama in a very positive light. They've brought some people down here who, you know, have really been pleased with how the island looks, the roads, the structure. We have a fantastic canal system that could not be built now in days with environmental and the way things are. So, you know, it's all looking positive for me, for GB with them. So it's nice to see people promoting us and really loving the island.
I'm excited about the development as well. The little that I do know about it, and I have been sort of watching this development for some time. I've had the opportunity to hear a full layout of their desires for Grand Bahama Island. And while some may have their, I guess, unclear information on the development, you know, I think these guys, one of the things that have impressed me the most was they were not one of those developers who just wanted to get an announcement in the ground. They were waiting and they wanted to wait until all of their ducks were in the row. And once they got their ducks lined up, then they've made a commitment to come to the public. Some announcements of what is going on with the project was made, but they have made a commitment to themselves that they would wait until the details are all lined up. And as we could see, they've been true to that because, you know, We've only been reading about them in the papers. We've not been seeing no ribbon cutting, no ground breaking, no announcement per se, like many others. And so they've been very stern with that.
All right, that's good stuff, man. I want to see that, you know, Grand Bahama. Like I've always said, I'm rooting for Grand Bahama. And if they can get these two things rolling, that's a big boost right there. That would almost force people together. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? That right there, you get these two on nine. Like, you know, that's forcing the airport to get done. You got to get it done now.
They have to. And they did an interview with Mark Weller the other day that nested. And one of their first questions was, you know, what about the airport? And, you know, Mark was very clear that he wants an airport to go as fast as possible, but that, you know, obviously within the guidelines, but we all need it. And it should hopefully open in time for Six Senses. They're going to need that because it's Six Senses is a different caliber of client for us here in Grand Bahama. It's very high end. We're going to need to be at the peak of our game for this. And we're going to need the best of the best with these customers. These are people that are usually go to fly to Europe for 2 to 3 week vacations. And, you know, this will elevate our clientele. And the homes alone, which are looking at $10 to $20 million, that's a whole another sphere for us. So it's a really good thing for Grand Bahama, and hopefully will push us in the marketplace as well.
All right, we got a call. Let's go to the phone line. We got a call. That call drop problem. Phone lines are open. There's some time on in. Go into the text lines real quick. Naughty, it seems like this is exactly how all these private island deals are set up. It's not for average Bahamians' benefit. Yes, a few politicians will benefit. For jobs, maybe, but not the everyday Bahamian. While international companies buy up land, it's the same old, same old. We must break this cycle, and I agree. But that's why it's important to me to make sure the Bahamians are involved in these developments moving forward. Naughty, no development in this country is for the benefit of the average citizen. It's a plantation, worked for 50 years, paying NIB just to have to fight for that NIB contribution 60 years down the line. That's something, Maytex, though.
Daddy, are you done talking?
No, he's not done talking, but I think you have a future in radio because you take after your daddy.
Great.
Thank God for Uncle Naughty here. Yeah. Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon to my fellow Grand Bahamians and to you, Naughty, and to the wider.
Hey, I don't care who your contacts are, you know, Seattle. I just want to let you know that I'm right up the top. Thank you for sharing that. I needed that laugh today.
Okay. You know, one of the things with Grand Bahama, right? Now, here's what happens. I think that, first, let's go with Six Senses. I think Six Senses brings an opportunity for us to bring a different type of attraction. Generally speaking, when you bring the caliber of people that comes to Six Senses, what it does, it costs attraction of a mid-range and other followers who wants to be where those type of people are. Maybe they'll get to see them or hobnob or whatever them. The problem that I see, though, is that this government is very high on talk and aspirational announcements, is that we need actually actionable, implementable plans to get us to the capacity that we need to actually get the airport going. You know, I think, Sarah, if possible, I think you should actually investigate as to what how much money would be needed to actually carrier airport for that amount. An airport is the same as there's a net capacity that you need to bring for them to break even, and then there's a greater capacity for them to generate a profit and maintain themselves. In the same way, we don't have sufficient rooms on this island to support the airport that they want. Support the airport that we need. So the fact is that we are lacking a conversation. I don't know who, I'm not too sure. I think Ian Roll is the president of the Hotel Association here in Grand Bahama, the Tourism Association of Grand Bahama. And then we have the government's Ministry of Tourism. And then you have some existing hotels. But somehow there has to be a strategy developed as to how do we get these keys, these rooms that is going to be necessary to sustain that hotel. Because it'll pose detrimental to the Six Senses as to the other hotels or other businesses that hotel can attract to go in the surrounding area as we raise the type of clientele. Yeah. And one of the reasons is, I mean, if you consider the Sixth Senses, we should be, when you consider the caliber of Sixth Senses, we should be marketing Grand Bahama around who Sixth Senses is to tell people this is the type of destination that we're coming. And so when you tie that into the cruise port, we also have the opportunity to reimagine our own destination for Grand Bahama with the things that we have from our beaches. You can't get the miles of beaches. I think
no, you can't. 100% correct.
Right. The number two or number three or number one beach in the Caribbean is right here on Grand Bahama, surrounded by miles of beaches. For that, we have the nature reserve. We have the turtles and this. And, I mean, it's so much around. But it also would inspire this concept that the government has been talking, and I think Mr. Rupert Hayward talks about this blue economy, ocean economy, to begin a restoration process that allows the beauty of Grand Bahama to come back simultaneously. But we can't simply wait for the airport or wait for it to be sold. You know, proper preparation prevents our piss-poor performances. And I think we need action from government. We need involvement of stakeholders, residents, and otherwise. When I say even stakeholders, the entire Bahamas has to have a desire for Grand Bahama to succeed, because there can be no more development on New Providence. The other islands don't have the infrastructure. So Grand Bahama is the great hope for the economic revitalization of the Bahamas. And so I wish they would stop treating us like the sweetheart and realize that we are now the mean wife. Thank you so much.
All right, see you, Alan.
I like that.
In the response to the airport, just based on something that was brought to my attention over the weekend, as relates to the airport that's being taken down, they said to me, they said, Darren, I hope that you do some checks, because the building that's being taken down is in excellent shape. And what should have happened, or would not have happened, that's why they're not demolishing it. They're actually taking it down. So we're paying for it to be taken down. But the question is, what is going to be done with the building that we're paying for? Because the building, it's a metal building that's in excellent condition. And it's taking, because of the decision of it being done now, it's taking longer than the original design time. So question is, are we taking it down for a longer period of time with the same allocated funds from the original discussion, or we would have had to renegotiate for a longer time? And again, what is being done with the building? These are some questions that were brought to my attention over the weekend, as relates to the building. I believe that the building was always in excellent condition long before the decision was made to take it down. I do believe that the airport needs to be relocated, but I think government could have made a quick and wise decision in being able to put some attention into the and then look at being able to relocate it after. So we're paying for what?
I think we lost Darren there. He should chime right back in. But that was my question on last week's show, before. What is the deal? What's going on? Because I've been hearing the same thing. That it's now gone from being demolished and cleared to become a site to be rebuilt upon, to now it's being broken down and deconstructed. So
right.
We haven't been given any updates on what's happening with the airport. We're still waiting to hear. We were hopeful that we were going to hear something more in the budget debate, but we haven't heard anything yet. I mean, and that's a whole conversation, what's happening with the budget debate as well. I mean, I still have a lot of questions there as pertaining to the hotels that are being purchased and things like that as well.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
A lot of people are quite upset that we're looking to buy other things when we still haven't got an airport and our hospital is still not right.
That was my question. What's the ticket on the, proposed purchase of the International Bazaar property?
Well, I think, personally, there's not much actual detail as relates to this property, because now I'm understanding that the government is only purchasing a portion of the old Princess property. to go along with the bazaar. And it still then brings me back to the question, what is going to be done with the other part of the property that's dilapidated? And then when you clear down this property or clean up around it, what is going to be done with the building? Are we going to camouflage the building? What is the real design? And so those are also, again, questions we have no answers to. I don't believe that, you know, the government should put its focus there. I've listened to the Minister of Health, who is presently still on, and talked about all of the work being done to clinics and the renovations completed. And I'm wondering if they're saying the 54 clinics, well, the ones here in Grand Bahama, are they fully renovated by just slapping and putting some plaster over some holes? Or we would have renovated and outfitted these clinics with the state-of-the-art systems and mechanisms that's needed. Because, you know, you can't say that 8 Mile Rock Clinic is fully renovated. How? Where? What was done? Is the question we have. You know, you have disabled families or persons here in Grand Bahama yesterday who said to me that the building that they was housed in, the old Susan J., they've been removed out of that. And they're now trying to wonder why. And they've been put into a trailer on the Rand property, which is not friendly for them to even get their disabled persons who are doing therapy and who are mentally challenged in this facility without having to go around the roundabout about 10 times and then get into it. And on a day like today when it's raining, there's no drive-up system where they can actually drive up to the building like they were able to do under the Susan J. So there are many questions that's here. You know, and again, we put Band-Aid over it for the issues, is the concerns.
I would agree, Naughty. There's a lot of people, we just don't know enough about it, but I was really confused over the additional announcement of the hotel purchase, because there's no way the Princess or the casino or any of that can be brought back to hotel standards in any way. It's just got to be demolished and made into something else. And I wish there was a clarification on what's going to happen there. I don't think that's going to bring us back or make a big stride or change. I think it's something that has to be done privately to change that area. I think our efforts really need to go towards the airport and the hospitals right now.
I got a couple of texts coming in. Naughty, nothing will happen for Grand Bahama until they get a prime minister that's from Grand Bahama. Then the entire Bahamas can benefit from the long-delayed possibilities of Grand Bahama. Naughty, please let Darren know that the airport is being renovated. I don't know what your version of renovation and the Texas version of renovation are, Darren, but apparently the Texas is adamant that it's being renovated.
It is. I'd like to see the announcement, because I think both Sarah and I have the information that it's being demolished.
Correct.
It's being disassembled. Not renovated.
We understand it's being disassembled. Yeah, to put a new airport there. And they still have a choice of what's happening with that.
I don't know who wants to pick this one up. Naughty, what about Airbnb customers in Grand Bahamas? Don't they count also? I think this was in reference, I guess, to the rooms and whatnot we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely, Airbnb customers do count. And if it hadn't been for Airbnb, I don't think Grand Bahama would have been able to come back after Dorian in with the hotel. I mean, Pelican Bay has been our phenomenal hotel that's been outstanding and kept open during all the storms. Viva closed for a while. They've reopened, and now they're doing quite well. But, you know, the main hotel on the Strip is not open. Well, it's open, but it's not at full capacity, and we've lost the old Holiday Inn, which was, I can't remember all the different names it's been. So, you know,
memories.
We are in need. But, yeah, memories.
Ask for little them memories.
Memories, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wasn't a good memory for me, obviously.
But, it slipped your memory.
Yeah, the Airbnb needs that front strip sorted out, and it has to be, you know, and I thank Darren for what he said last week. You know, that's something that's going to have to be resolved. But besides that fact, we don't need hotel rooms just, you know, we need airlift. I mean, I'm trying to explain why, because we need homes that people are buying, because we've got the WASM students that are coming in, and you've got people that are coming to work at the shipyard. These aren't people that are just flying in for the day or for a couple of days. These people stay for months and for years to work there. Same thing with Carnival. They'll also have their, you know, some basic staff that they're going to have come in as well. Then you're going to have returning residents coming back from Nassau to Grand Bahama. So it's a housing issue more for me, but we need that airlift to increase, because you've got to think every time we go to buy a flight, we're also battling mm-hmm. with the shipyard that's flying tons of people into work.
Correct.
So we don't have enough flights, and then our flights are more expensive. So we have that issue as well. So this is, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's got to be the hotel. I totally disagree.
Airport.
We need the airport.
I got some wet tax. Good afternoon. To Florida, I think the Bahamas is a prime area for the cruise ships. They can get to all the northern islands overnight, saving fuel, food, and more. But it's sad we don't get more of the pie and employment from this industry. I think that's the consensus of a lot of Bahamians. Make it make sense. Make it work for both sides, you know? According to a study, Grand Bahama needs 12,000 rooms to be viable. How close is Grand Bahama to that number? According to C. Allen Johnson, 12,000 rooms are needed. How close are we to that number, like C. Allen said? How many rooms do we have down there right now? If we had to say how many rooms we got?
Don't think we have 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you take in consideration
the whole of Grand Bahama don't have 1,000.
Yeah. I don't think you have 1,000. But even with our boutique hotels and small hotels, if we have 1,000, we barely scraping that. Because when we look at Viva, we look at Pelican Bay, even Dolphin Cove,
Kano Beach Resort,
Flamingo Resort,
Bell Channel,
Castaway, Island,
Royal Islander.
I would probably venture out adding in all of our boutiques about 1,200 rooms.
But I mean, again. Wow. This is the whole thing where they're pushing that we need to have the hotel rooms. We don't need the hotel rooms. We also are a huge industrial park, and we need the industrial rooms, but we need the flights to get the people here to work, and we need to get our people in to work as well. So I'm disagreeing on the hotel rooms.
I think for me, it's a collaborative effort where you need both. You need to reassure your investor or those who will be developing this whole airport that I'm going to be renovating and building a new airport that, one, we can now create demand in the airlifts, and we have the room capacity. So I think while you're renovating the airport, you also need to be doing something with rooms and making sure that if you now, because you can't renovate the airport and just have the three carriers we got now coming to Grand Bahama. And some of them are not even so reliable, because depending on the demand of the flights, they cancel sometimes. So if we're just renovating an airport, $150 to $200 million of the people's money for Grand Bahama to end up with just silver American and Bahamas there, my God, then, you know, we in trouble. And so it has to be, I think for me and many others, it has to be a collaborative effort where you have airport and rooms being done at the same time. Because even though you have industrial companies, without room for these industrial, you can go ahead and get an airport and you have big industrial company projects going on, but there's nowhere to put them. Then what? And that's one of the problems you have now with a lot of Airbnbs and also units that are available for rent. People are complaining to the fact that there is really no beds to put people in on the demand that you have. And so we have to have a collaborative effort. I want to even respond to the texter. If Grand Bahama has a prime minister from Grand Bahama, I don't think that might help, but I don't think that's the significant fix for Grand Bahama. We just need leaders that will sit down with relevant persons and chart the way forward and have an open mind and a listening ear to be able to get some of the brightest in a room to be able to guide you and navigate you to where it is you need to go. You can have the same Nassau mentality. We won't go anywhere. We had 5 MPs in the last administration. We even had a doggone governor general. And where did we go? Nowhere.
Here's a good one, boy. Sarah, this one for you. We're going to need pre-clearance back and new airlines. The patching of airport won't do. Naughty, can Sarah get a sit-down interview with Minister Moxie?
I don't.
No, we have tried. We have asked, and we aren't getting replies. But we do understand that we will get pre-clearance if we come back.
Okay.
I think that's part of the deal that will happen with the new airport, is that they're going to get the pre-clearance.
But let me rewind the tape for a second, because that's kind of cold now. You know, you reach out to the Minister of Grand Bahama, two entities, multiple entities, and can't get an interview?
No.
And the media, sure. Grand Bahama News, can't get an interview?
No,
we haven't been able to get feedback. We've been trying for a couple of weeks now to get
Let me see if the power of the coldest can help you out.
Let me
go for you all. Let me see if the power of the coldest can help you out a little bit, because we need to hear from Grand Bahama, man. And the minister can't be mums the word, lips locked, and don't give us no nothing. Now we need to know what's happening. So
now she has to have something to give you.
Man, listen. At least make the effort.
Sarah don't have to say it, but let me be the one. She has to have something to give you. And the truth be told, the minister needs to speak from the... She can't speak off the cuff. She has to speak from the paper. So she's not going to do an open interview. And I triple-double dare her to take up the offer and speak with the media of Grand Bahama. Call a press conference and answer the necessary questions that's relevant for the way forward for Grand Bahama. I've been told that even our constituents can't get a hold of us. And I'm not new, Sarah. Don't feel bad.
What?
I love how you say don't feel bad. I mean, it's just, you know, we're just waiting for answers, and we've been trying to get them. It's the same on the hotel. So, I mean, we get just as frustrated with the Port Authority on a lot of things as well. But, you know, we're waiting for answers, and people do want to know what's happening. It would be great to have an update on the airport. It would be fantastic. So you go ahead, Naughty. We want to know.
Yeah, man, we gotta make it happen. Now, listen, in 30 seconds or less, because we gotta get out of here. But a texter chimed in yesterday, and you can ask me one word if you want. The texter's point was, Abaco and Grand Bahama need to be a little more understanding to this current administration. And this current administration came to you all to dialogue and say, we need more time. We need another 5 to 10 years to really make Abaco right, to make Grand Bahama right. Would you allow them the opportunity?
That was a question for me.
Anyone of y'all want to ask? That was what they sent me yesterday, so y'all going to answer it. I figure y'all don't need too much time to answer that, considering how I talk to y'all every Tuesday. I don't know.
For me, I would tell them no. I tell them no. At this juncture, I tell them no.
What about you, Sarah?
I'm going to have to be a no, unfortunately. I just don't feel, I don't think we're getting the attention we need or the decisions we need to get things done. And I'm very frustrated with this whole thing with the Port Authority as well. Does everything perfectly. But I do believe we need to work as an entity together. And I still feel that puts a cloud over the island, which I hate. And at the end of the day, we need an airport more than anything. It needs to be done. The last administration.
Sarah wants an airport, damn it. Make it happen.
And I want it done. It's got to happen. I'm sorry.
Sarah, you need to
tap in. Have to be the Taj Mahal.
You just
want a basic airport with a conveyor belt and people coming in, and we need a better private airport as well.
But I suggest you do.
Has become our international airport. It's not good enough.
Sarah.
And we have these high-end clients, like your caller said, they're coming in for Six Senses. You know, we need to elevate the experience to come here. And so everyone needs to put that through. And we pay our taxes, just like Abaco pays our taxes. So we need that help to get stuff done.
All right. But I appreciate both of you all chiming in. We got to get to the news. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Both of you all have a great rest of the week in Grand Bahama. Keep up the good work. Keep up what you're doing.
Can I encourage everyone to look at the paper today, because there are a couple big things that we also want to pay attention to of what Basra said. We had unfortunate incidents this weekend.
Correct.
So we really want everyone to pay attention to that. And also the eyesore of the week. I really want to pay attention to that one too, please. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate both of you all, Matt. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Have a great remainder of the week, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Naughty. Thanks for fighting for GB.
There you go, man. All right, we got to keep up the fight, man. Not just for GB, the whole entire Bahamas, man. We, you know, we want better, we need better, and administrations know better, so they need to do better. Let's get to the news, flip side of the news. We'll be in the 5 o'clock hour talking sports as the Tuesday, June 11th edition of Talking Heads continues.
Ignite your leadership capabilities, expand your vision, and chart the path to a bright future at the CIBC Caribbean Ignite Leadership Conference, 27th of June at Bahamar, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Join Sarah Kunst, a venerated entrepreneur who has worked at Apple and Red Bull. Sarah is a Forbes 30 Under 30 Future Innovator and has been honored by the Wall Street Journal. Also hear about the leadership journey of Anthony Ferguson and Crystal Rutherford Ferguson. This event is designed for senior business executives and seasoned entrepreneurs. Register at cibcfcib.com/ignite to secure your space. Only successful registrants will be acknowledged. Join us for the Ignite Leadership Conference, June 27th at Bahamar.
Attention all KFC lovers! Are you ready to get crazy on Tuesdays? Now you can get 5 juicy mouth-watering pieces of KFC chicken for only $10. It's crazy! 5 pieces of world-famous KFC chicken, handmade with a secret blend of 11 herbs and spices for only $10. Don't miss out! This crazy offer is only on Tuesdays and only at KFC. KFC Nassau. It's finger-licking good.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want to race, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then Fine Threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
We'll be right back.
Talking Heads is back at you. The Tuesday, June 11th edition of Talking Heads. We got Pearly zoomed in yet? Pearlissimo, what's going on, my brother?
In this corner, trying to steal the trouble.
Wait, when I get off work today, I come in by you. I got to show you a joke in person.
Okay, Lordy.
No. This is a good one. Brother, next time you're in the hood, let me know. Okay?
Okay. All right.
And then, yeah. But you can laugh when you say, yes, but that's a funny one. That's a good one.
Okay.
But anyway, nonetheless, we talking sports. So let's get into today in sports history. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. We'll start it off that way. And then we'll parlay the parlay. We got lots to talk about. And I'll be honest with you. A lot of people worried about that series in Dallas. But I told them, I say, listen, the Mavs always do what they need to do at home.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
I think they make the adjustments. I think it's going to be a full 7-game series, but we shall see.
I can't see Kyrie having 3 back-to-back bad games. So
no.
But you got some Boston Celtics fans are getting very cocky, and, you know, they got to get brought back down to earth.
But listen, Celtic fans have always been cocky, but you have to remind them. For the last 6 years, they've been cocky making Eastern Conference Finals and then choking out. Either not making the finals or when they get to the finals, choke out completely.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, you got a 2-game lead. Will you lose 4-2? That'll be something they can be 4-2. Hey, wow.
Yeah, that would be...
So it's 2-3-2-2.
No. I think it's gone back to the old format. 2-2-1-1-1.
Okay. All right.
If I'm not mistaken, but I'll double check it.
Get to the days and watch this while I double check it.
That's cool, man. That's cool. We can make that happen. And we'll jump in right now with Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. And don't forget, every Wednesday and Friday, happy hour at Naughty Johnny's. Well, we're at the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza, 5-7 each and every Wednesday and Friday. Giving you a heads up. I know it's Tuesday, but I just want to get you, you know, reminded that tomorrow, you could love yourself a little bit out there at Naughty Johnny's. 5-7, awesome happy hour. And on this day in sports history, June 11th, 1938, Johnny Vandermeer of the Cincinnati Reds threw the first of 2 consecutive no-hitters. 1950, Ben Hogan returned to tournament play after a near-fatal car accident. He won the U.S. Open. 1972, Hank Aaron tied the National League record for 14 Grand Slam home runs in a career. 1974, the Kansas City Scouts and Washington Capitals officially received their NHL franchises. The Scouts moved to Denver before the start of the 76-77 season to become the Rockies and later the New Jersey Devils. 1990, the New York Yankees became the first pitcher to start as a designated hitter. You remember Rick Roden, Pearly? Pitched years for the Yankees. Yeah.
I remember Rick Roden.
Yeah, came from the National League too, so he knew how to bat a little bit, you know? 1990, Nolan Ryan became the oldest player to throw a no-hitter. Huh?
Yeah,
I think he
had a stint with the Dodgers.
But yeah, he was a National League guy for a couple of years. Dodgers, Cubs, and somebody else.
Okay.
1995, Mark McGuire tied a major league record when he hit home runs in 5 consecutive games. 1995, Lee Smith set a major league record when he got his 16th consecutive save in 16 appearances. One of the most underrated relievers of all time, Lee Smith.
Yeah, he was underrated. He was really good.
And he was one of the best, too. 2010, ESPN launched ESPN 3D. 2010, the FIFA World Cup opened in South Africa. It was the first time it was held in Africa. 2012, Rafael Nadal won his record 7th French Open title when he defeated Novak Djokovic, the Joker. And today's sports quote, confidence is a very fragile thing. Joe Montana, just like your back was when Leonard Marshall and Lawrence Taylor hit you and broke you up for 3 seasons. Sorry.
Oh, cold-hearted. You are cold-hearted.
He's in form already.
Okay, it's 2-2-1-1-1.
2-2-1-1-1, right? All format.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go.
Rick Roden did have a stint with the Dodgers in the 70s.
I know.
Pittsburgh, too.
Correct. And I think the Cubs, if I'm not mistaken. Well, that might have been Rick Russell. Not Rick Rodin.
Rick Russell was a Cub.
Yeah. I knew it was one of them. But I know Rodin was a National League guy. That's why he hit so well in the American League, because we used to, you know, there was no DH back then in the National League.
Yeah.
All right, let's check out the local sports scene. And listen, Purdy, before I go on, all right, I got to do this. And I wanted to touch on it in depth yesterday, but it was kind of busy. But listen, man, congratulations to JBLN. All right, they won the 16U National Championships in the 16 and under division, went a perfect 5-0 in the tournament, beat Freedom Farm twice in the process, 9-1 in the final. So, yeah, man, big up to that team, that whole crew. And big up to, yeah, man, Coach Newball, Coach Froggy Newball, Anton Froggy Newball, Coach Kobe, Coach Nairn, big up to all of them, man. They did an awesome job with that team. 16 under champions, national champions, JBLN, man. Big up to them, man. Good job.
Okay.
I like to see, you know, and Mario Ford as well in the under-23, Mario's community baseball league. They won the under-23 division. So congratulations to Mario. Good to see him hold a national championship up after a little while, because he's been such an awesome ambassador and you know, developer of youth and the game in the country. So I'm glad to see him win one.
His team won the under-20.
Yeah, so props to Mario and the under-23 team in the under-23 division. Okay. Did an awesome job, man. And now, you know, end of the month in Freeport, you got 12U, 10U, 8U, Coach Pitch, T-Ball, all coming up in Grand Bahama at the National. So that should be awesome. I think that starts on the 17th. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads. Your nephew did his thing on the weekend.
Okay, yeah. No, I just wanted to know. Okay. Harry Sanders or Emmett Smith?
Okay, first of all, hey, what's going on, caller? Who's this?
Hey, I'm calling about the sports.
Right, that's fine. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, Emmett Smith.
And who would you say before I answer it?
I would say Harry Sanders.
All right, now I'll tell you why you're wrong. Emmett Smith had...
I'll tell you why he's wrong, because Emmett Smith had a longer career.
Emmett Smith had a longer career. Emmett Smith didn't quit like Barry Sanders didn't walk away from the game. And no matter how you shape it, he did quit. Emmett had 4 rushing titles, regular season NFL rushing titles. He had a regular season MVP, which Barry Sanders didn't have. He had a Super Bowl MVP that Barry Sanders didn't have. He won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. And pretty much Barry Sanders did squad douche in Detroit. So for all the moves and all the yards, Emmett has more yards. Emmett has more career touchdowns. Emmett has more receptions. Emmett has more games. Emmett has more Super Bowls. Emmett has more everything. So Emmett had the better career. Emmett is the GOAT when it comes to running backs, period, bar none.
Interesting.
Take Walter Payton, take all of them into consideration. None of them have the numbers of Emmett Smith across the board. None of them do. Regular season, playoffs, and he has all the hardware to match. Every box that you want, he can check out, and he was a better blocker than Barry Sanders, too.
Okay, second part of the question is, right, whatever happened to the popular?
Because you got, and I'll let Purdy touch on this. I'll put it in a nutshell. You got Wonderkin GMs. And you got a league that wants more scoring than defense, so you want to see more talented receivers on the field and packages like that that go away from tradition. And tradition is run the football and play defense. That's how you win in football. But that's how, in my opinion, the running back has come devalued. They want to see more scoring. They want more receivers on the field. They want more points on the board. They want to be able to make bets in Vegas and have people make bets online. It's a lot of glitz and hype. They want more scoring. That is why the running back has become devalued and pretty much extinct.
Well, I mean, in the simple terms, there's more passing. There's a lot more stronger arm quarterbacks, and there's a lot more wide receivers out there. So the passing game has grown tremendously, and the running game has diminished. It is not run for his pass second. It's now pass. You know, they call it RPOs, run pass options, but it's pass. The option is for to pass and then consider running. So, and so the value of them is gone down. That's why you don't see them making the big money anymore. $8 million, $8 to $12 million is what most running backs would get. Right, wide receivers now getting $25 to $35 million.
Any other questions there, caller? Let me cover you. All right, man. Have a good one. Thanks for calling. I mean, I that's how I see it when it comes to Sanders. I mean, what you got to say, Purdy? Because he was like interesting.
In terms of the numbers, see, a championships guy, so fine. In terms of the numbers, yeah, Emmitt Smith is probably the GOAT. Probably the GOAT. Barry Sanders is the GOAT. And you know, he did quit. Whether you call it quit or just decided that he's finished running, you know, he and early. It wasn't like Detroit was on the brink of a Super Bowl and then he just quit on him. He just got tired and he just left. I don't know if it's quit. He just retired early. But you know. But it's how you describe it and how you look at it. I look at him retiring early. You look at him quitting.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, he could have come to y'all and run the football in Miami and got out of Detroit.
Yeah, but he decided that he was loyal to Detroit and he wanted to just retire as a Detroit Lion. He can't beat him for that.
That's fine, but at the end of the day, Emmitt Smith is the perfect storm for that argument. For those fans like you who will push a Marino because of Marino's prowess and statistics, and I say, yes, he could be in the conversation, but he can't be this far because he's ringless. Now, Emmitt's the perfect combination. He's got the stats. He's got the all-time records. He's got the rings. He's got the MVPs. You cannot deny Emmitt Smith is the GOAT at the running back position.
If I didn't know any better, I think you're really excited.
Because that's the last time I could really be excited about my Cowboys. Hold on. You could, yes. My left nipple is a little bit hard right now, Pearly. I won't lie to you. I'm having a moment. Yes, because that's when my Cowboys were good. I could tell you at 1 o'clock, listen, by 1:15 this game could be over, and you turn on the score, Cowboys 17-0. You see what I'm saying?
So now it's the other way around.
Now I be yeah, man, look here. I be praying rosary beat out like a good old Catholic, saying novenas and Hail Marys.
You got spoiled too early, and then you just like a spoiled brat, used to winning.
Yes.
Now you get the things, you can't handle it.
No, I can handle it, I can take it, but I my situation in LA differs from my situation in Dallas.
The pundits and the experts and the analyzers or whatever you want to call them are really saying that the Lakers job is not a good, and it's not because of LeBron.
No,
they think the ownership is cheap. They make bad moves.
Yeah,
and they're not the glamour. They said actually the Lakers head coaching job is less glamorous than Cleveland's. And if you hear that, my goodness.
Yeah, that's problems. But no, I was spoiled with the Cowboys early though, Pearly. I won't lie. 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, that really spoiled me in the 90s. After all,
I don't know if it's loyalty to a team that you are, or you just like one of them gold diggers, and you know, you just a gold digger. You know, I don't know.
If you calling me a gold digger for following Dallas for all these years, and through the ups and downs.
You're a gold digger for now that Dallas broke, you want to leave them.
I never said I want to leave Dallas.
Not leave, but you want to put them like in, you know.
I have issues with them because, like the Lakers, they have like the Raiders, they have Jerry Jones, who's ancient now. And like Al Davis with the Raiders prior to him passing, Lord bless the dead. Until Jerry passes on, the culture's not going to change in Dallas. But then again, you have a son, like how Al Davis has in Las Vegas. And the two of them can't get out of their own way. You talking about entitled rich spoiled brats? That's Stephen Jones. He ain't a change and he like to be rich.
They trying to say the same thing with Jeannie Buss?
And I'm saying the same thing about Jeannie too?
Yeah. It's getting ridiculous.
When Phil was, you know, whispering in the air with a little pillow talk, Phil Jackson, she was a lot better for it. Now she's listening to Rambis' wife and Kurt Rambis, and come on. You look back at Kurt Rambis, he's a career bench jockey. He was a product of Magic Johnson. Kurt Rambis don't know nothing but basketball like that.
He was an 8-round pick when they had 8 rounds.
With the goggles from Santa Clara State.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Mets.
Yeah, bosses. How y'all doing? How y'all feeling?
What's going on, Muff Road?
Bon, is Emmitt Smith hands down?
Tell him again, Muff.
Emmitt Smith, hands down, man. How much championship Barry saw hands up?
None.
Okay, none. All right. So where's Emmitt Smith, hands down, man? He could give him credit for the zigzag running, causing people to break their leg and slide down on the field again. But until you get the high jewelry, he ain't nothing happening, man. Why didn't they just send Barkley so much to the table? Why didn't Barkley say, Shaq got 4, Kenny got 2, Barkley ain't got none. Then you always just in all your life you could be getting this. Yeah, you never get none. You play 15 years in the league and you come up with no jewelry. Same thing with Dan Marino. Same thing. So, yeah, until you get that jewelry, See me, Caitlin Clark. Yeah,
yeah. Hear that happening. Oh, Lord, you said that's Caitlin Clark texted crazy. Look, he just texted right in. Yeah. Just as you said, he texted.
Like, I don't really like that. But I agree with you, Naughty, earlier what you say. When they get down in Houston, down in Dallas, like that crowd, the fan could be different. I agree with Pearly. He ain't gonna play too like that. I hear you and the big chief them talking yesterday, say, Kyrie ain't hit a tree yet. Man, Kyrie barely could hit a two. Man, say all the 5-footers, the 10-footers, the left hand scoop, the left hand teardrop, ain't nothing there for him, man, on the road. I ain't know it ain't done. But I looking for a way, way better game of the Kyrie tomorrow night, though. Way, way better. When the Dallas fans behind them, yeah, man, I looking for them at the end of the night to be 2-1.
I think so, too, man. I think at the end of tomorrow night, I think they play tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 2-1 tomorrow as well. I agree.
Yeah, because this is the finals, man. When you don't get beat, this is the last two best teams in the whole 31 teams in the league, so they didn't get beat twice back-to-back in Barca and going home. Yeah, man, everyone come with firing. And I agree with Big Chief with Derek Jones. That's why we running for Miami, too, man. He ain't consistent. I see him start off game one with a three-pointer, hit that, and then showing himself off, trying to hit these trees in game two and things like that. Even he touching rim. Even he touching, you know, he ain't a three-pointer. He's the dunk man, man. He's being the dunk pocket. I know he get off out trying to shoot no three-pointers. Yeah, man, that's why we running for Miami, too. And I agree with you, Big Chief, when football season over, I depressed, boy. What ain't nothing about it? Especially July right now when NBA finals over. Only really baseball. It ain't nothing to really watch in July till August till preseason start. Can't wait. Like the Big Chief up the countdown. 33 more Sundays. Yeah, boy, can't wait. Even for preseason. Yeah. To see our Miami Dolphins looking pretty with all them new players and everything. All them good moves.
You got some diamonds in the rough. The wide receiver, the 6th-round pick wide receiver, would probably be the third off, the fourth option behind Tyreek, Waddle, and Beckham. He'd probably be the fourth slot receiver.
How is Jeff Wilson looking, man?
Wilson is really
is he in shape? Is he in good shape? He look good.
He's dropping down and down even more every more because the Washington. The other
y'all don't appreciate now. A dude like Jeff, man. Yeah. We'd appreciate him in Dallas, man. What you saying, man?
Yeah, but he could be on the trade block very soon because he's losing his in OTAs. The rookie looked good. The rookie.
Jeff Wilson go to Dallas and wins comeback player of the year if he goes to Dallas.
Probably.
How about
that? You'll take him. That's me. From last year.
That's why I didn't play last year. I've been doing my research on Jeffrey Wilson. Uncle Jeffrey ready to go. Uncle Jeffrey go to Dallas. Uncle Jeffrey will get him on the veterans minimum. And Uncle Jeffrey could actually win comeback player of the year to rejuvenate his career.
Well, let me ask you something. Hunt used to play with the Kansas City Chiefs before. Then he gone to Baltimore. Now he back to the Chiefs again.
Who?
Hunt. The running back. Lamar.
Oh, he gone back to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think so.
He won't get a ring.
Yeah. Because to the basketball game, he was sitting on the side of Patrick Mahomes and Mike Brennan say, yeah, well, his teammate, Hunt, his newly teammate with their sign.
All right.
To the basketball game. So I said, my Hunt back to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think he a little long in the tooth. We'll see what they got, though.
Yeah. Well, he's a good man. He's a good running. But he's good with them the first time, too. After he stopped fumbling the ball and then he's all right. But, yeah, excited and can't wait for this year NFL season, though, and anything like that. So let me let someone else get it. But, all yeah, right, man, y'all gentlemen, be safe.
Be safe, Muff.
Yeah, me gonna link up, man.
Take
yeah,
care,
brother.
Bro. Be safe. Yes, I. Yep. Bernie, you sitting down?
You know, there's one thing I was trying to get in there, you know, and it's interesting how you guys take team sports and put that on.
Did you feel that Marino reference when he made in
no,
there?
No,
when he threw
no,
in there?
No, I did feel it. But the point is, even Barkley, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders was on a donkey Detroit team. He was the bright spot on the team.
You know what amazes me?
He put him in any other team, he might have had rings. But you can't blame him for not getting rings.
If Emmitt Smith played for any other team apart from the Dallas Cowboys, you wouldn't even be bringing this point up. You know what you'd say? Yeah, Emmitt was the best. He did it all. But because if he's a cowboy,
you
got to get some shade thrown on him.
If he put up the same kind of statistics at the Detroit at the Raiders, at a team like that, I might have said that. But right now, he had, when it was Pro Bowl time, you had at least 10 to 12 Cowboys on the Pro Bowl team. Come on, man. Let's be real.
Oh, boy. Give me my violin, please, Mr. Producer. Let me play my violin for Pearlie. Pearlie, you better get focused on this one coming up, man, because you have to defend your girl in this. This, and I don't know why Muff went out there and just said what he had to say about Caitlin Clark, because you know who chimed in right away, right?
So how do I have to defend my girl, Caitlin
Clark? Oh, it's coming. I'm going to let you hear it, all right?
Well, because all I'm trying to say, she gets snubbed for the All-Star game.
She's not
one of the best stars in the WNBA.
Indulge me. Let's just do this quick so we can get to the picks, because we got a great take-home today with Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright talking about Caitlin Clark getting snubbed, Aaron Rodgers holding out, and a couple other big things around the NFL and the NBA, all right? But here's Kate Boy. We're going to call him Kate Boy on the show.
Right?
You all really think those dead Mavs and Kyrie will win two back-to-back? I have a bridge to sell you and Pearlie. You think Kyrie is the great Caitlin Clark, Kate? No, we think he's better because he actually has a ring already. Naughty, in 1996, President Bill Clinton was reelected to a second term, beating out Bob Dole and Russ Perot. Elsewhere, Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski was arrested by the FBI and the Dallas Cowboys won a championship. That's what you were living. Oh, yeah. And in 1996, you weren't born. And you know what? Back in the day, seeing texts like this, we should have given your dad a chance to revisit and see if he wanted to use birth control or not.
Ooh, you look for that.
Because you ran here embarrassing him and your old family with these dumb texts. But anyway, let me keep moving. Let me keep moving. You see, he's making it too easy, Kate Boy. And here we go, Purdy. Caitlin was not...
I think he gets a kick out of that.
Oh, he does. He's a good sport. He in the press box chat group. He can take it. Oh, yeah, he good people. Leather skin, leather neck. Purdy is a turtle. Anyway, Caitlin was not snubbed by the Olympic Committee. She chose to play for Iowa when the Olympic team was training. She wasn't checking for them on that team. That's why she didn't get picked. She isn't like Angel Reese who want to cry when she get left out or lose. Wait a minute.
Why is she making it a big issue that she didn't make the team?
She isn't like Angel Reese who wants to cry when she gets left out or loses.
But Angel Reese even ain't worrying, but trying to make the Olympic team this year. She know it ain't her time yet.
And I'm glad that you admit.
If you look at the stats outside of scoring, Angel Reese is number one in many rookie stats in the WNBA right now.
All right. And then, listen, text her.
Carefully.
We're not going to take...
She put up, she got mad today. She didn't get picked, dropped 30 and come back and dropped 10 and then a loss.
There you go.
Man, you're good.
You stay consistent with the Caitlin text to the show, Kate Boy, because, you know, that's you're our Caitlin correspondent. As far as the Chiefs go, we have to defer, not to hurt your feelings, but we got the big chief who contributes a lot better than you when it comes to the Chiefs. So we're going to keep rolling with him.
He goes to Chiefs games and he studies the Chiefs. I tell you could be what the big chief does. I ain't listening to no one else but him. The only other person about the Kansas City Chiefs I listen to is my good friend in Freeport Money Like Dirt.
Yeah, because I mean, if I throw some names at Texter right now, he only knows the Mahomes chief. He don't know like
Does he know Priest Holmes?
No, he don't know the Bill Kenny, Priest Holmes, Trent Green, Tony Gonzalez. You know the
Joe Montana.
How about this?
Joe Montana, Kansas City Chiefs.
What about Art Still, the perennial defensive lineman, forever and ever, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, I mean, come on, man. What about Ross, the cornerback, Kevin Ross was there as a cornerback for years and years, All Pro.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was.
I mean, come on.
All Pro, yeah, that's correct.
So yeah. Anyway, Purdy, let's get to the picks real quick because we gotta, you know, get to where we need to get.
But you know, baseball tonight.
Yeah, I believe a couple of games, eh? Or none tonight.
Ooh, there's no NBA tonight, if that's what you mean.
No NBA tonight. It's WNBA and Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So let's have a gander. Let's have a look at who's playing where. We got in the WNBA, I know there's a couple of games tonight in the WNBA for sure.
It's three games in the WNBA. You got the Washington Mystic at the Atlanta Dream.
I like the Dream to win that one, but not by 7. I'll take them with the money line.
And then you get the Minnesota Lynx at the Las Vegas Aces. I like the Aces tonight.
I like the Aces to rebound because they lost a couple of games. But the Lynx playing tough ball. You know, I might take the Lynx in that 7 points, you know.
Okay. And you get the Sparks at the Seattle Storm.
I got to take the Storm in the money line simply because 11.5 is a lot for that team.
I'll take the Sparks in the money line. I think that's a lot. The Sparks have a lot of work to do. Christy Brink ain't get. She's just struggling, but she can be all right. She's going to be a solid player in the WNBA. Sparks in a rebuild mode. I like the Sparks with the points.
With the point. Yeah, man, and don't forget Derek Thomas, man. Yes, man. Barry Word, Christian Okoye. Yes, man. Yes, Dexter. Yes, Dexter.
He died too early.
Derek Thomas, tragic situation here, but Barry Word was another good running back. Christian Okoye, yeah, man, a Nigerian nightmare. Albert Lewis was another cornerback for you that was pretty decent. You had the little kick returner, too. They used to call Joystick. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He used to take back all the kickoffs.
Yeah, right.
And Kansas City had some players from back then. All right, and Major League Baseball, Purdy, let's see how many games we got tonight. Jesus, too many to call tonight. My God.
Well, let's go. Let's take the Dodgers over the Rangers tonight. That should be a good game. I like Kansas City because who's pitching for them tonight to beat y'all tonight?
I like Kansas City tonight, too. I can bet them, too, because of who's pitching.
Yeah. And then I would take Toronto over the Brewers tonight. I think the Brewers are throwing a rookie tonight. So I like the Marlins to upset the Mets.
So we roll with them. Purdy's trifecta right there.
Okay.
There you go, man. We'll do it again tomorrow, man. Good stuff, Purdy. We're going to get to the break. Flip side of the break. Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright taking us home. Good stuff, everybody who called in, chimed in, texted in, and we'll do it again tomorrow right here on Guardian Radio for the Wednesday edition of Talking Heads, where MJ will be joining us, Purdy will be joining us. We'll have a fully loaded episode tomorrow, 4 o'clock, like you always do. For Talking Heads, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Be good, Bahamas, and if you can't be good at it. We'll see you mañana.
Ciao, ciao.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Flavid Island Games, we making dreams come true. Flavid Island Games, we paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without the headaches of international travel? Well, we've got you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time to fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind on secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you better act fast, because this incredible 2-fly-free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidence.com for more information and start planning your ultimate island getaway today. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You guys are all banging. Let me ask you, all you guys banging on Oklahoma City, would you rather have the Jets, Giants job or the Packers? Don't get too caught up in market size.
I'm just talking about the fact that, okay. Hi, Colin. Did you just say that the Warriors have the next Klay Thompson? You just threw that in as an aside?
Pods.
I know you like pods. I know who you're talking about, buddy. I don't think the next Klay Thompson is on the board. Okay. I think he's a nice pick and a nice player.
All right.
That was such an earthquake of a take just thrown in there as an aside that it threw me off on the rest of it. I don't hate, it seems like J-Mac hates this list. I don't hate the list. Is the problem is the Lakers not being right on it to some, but if you go work for the Lakers, you work for a team that doesn't have real money and a front office who has proven time and again that they are only elite at one thing, keeping their positions of power,
yeah,
keeping their jobs. So I don't think the Lakers are a great job. And I think that the Lakers front office, Colin, made, in my opinion, two massive mistakes with each of their last two coaching hire transitions, and then they amazingly decided to make them both again this time ago. They let everyone know Ty Lue's their number one choice,
yeah,
and then they don't get Ty Lue because they're cheap. And so when they end up getting Frank Vogel, that press conference is a little odd and awkward, as is the hire, because everyone knows he wasn't the top choice. They have now made that mistake again. Also, when they fired Frank Vogel, Rob Pelinka decided, I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to hold a press conference, which made the press conference when they hired Ham super awkward, because there were a lot of, hey, why'd you fire Frank Vogel questions? Well, they made that mistake again too. So when whomever they hire, that opening press conference, the number one questions are going to be about the guy they really wanted, Danny Hurley. And the number two questions are going to be like, hey, did you give Darvin Ham a fair shot? Meanwhile, J.J. Redick's going to be sitting there just desperately trying to explain a horn set to us and not get the opportunity. So I don't think they're a well-run franchise, Colin, flatly.
So, you know, I've said this. I don't know where I forget. You've been critical of Boston through the years, but I did say I predicted Celtics in six and Jaylen Brown would be the MVP. And though he's not as aesthetically pleasing or as fluid as Jason Tatum, I think this series is once again a reminder that there is a certain aggressiveness alpha that is missing from Tatum. He fills a box score. But your number one, Jokic, Ant, Michael, Kobe, Shaq, Barkley, you got to give me the closer. And when Jaylen Brown, I was willing to look past some shooting woes. But when the Mavs drew closer in game two, and they went to Jaylen for that ceiling bucket, it's like, that was pretty clear. Like, this is the Tatum I've talked about, that I think he's a soft one, but a great player. Is this a revelation to you that, like, Brown appears in the last two series to be, like, better? And he talks more in the timeouts. So, he's the leader.
So, I'm not comfortable saying over the totality of a season, like, if all the Celtics were free agents and you could add any one of them, I think basically all 30 GMs would pick Tatum before Brown.
Yeah.
Because of the talent, because of the size, he is a touch younger. But we now, Colin, for guys, this is Tatum just finished his eighth career NBA Finals game. He has the worst field goal percentage in Finals history. The worst of any player who's taken as many shots as he has. I was there Sunday night in Boston right behind the mat. He looked unsure of himself, uncertain, and nervous from the opening tip. That to me, and even Celtic fans who were giving me hell for picking the Mavs in five, which, you know, I must say it doesn't look like it's going to happen because they've already lost twice, they weren't defending Tatum. And it is a testament to the roster that Brad Stevens has built, the Derek White trade, Kristaps trade, and then Drew Holiday trade, that we are in the midst of Jason Tatum playing some of the worst offensive basketball of his season, and the Celtics are up 2-0. There is a lot of, not really stylistically, but as far as egalitarian basketball similarities to the 0-4 Pistons. Now, the 0-4 Pistons were a historic defense, and this is a very good defense, not a historic defense. But where you don't know, is it going to be Chauncey? Is it going to be Rip? Is it going to be Sheed? Is it going to be Tayshaun? You don't know where the offense is coming from. You just have an excellent five-man starting rotation. But I think that Jason Tatum has to take something of a hit in these finals because I heard him after the game saying, oh, I'm not going to let my ego get in the way of it. And I appreciate it. But Jason Tatum took more shots in that game than Luka Doncic did. Yeah. Jason Tatum took 22 shots, and the next highest Celtic was 15. It's not like, oh, I don't have it going, I'm just going to defer. He was trying to get it going and couldn't, and he looked very uneasy in the moment. For honestly, that's 7 out of 8 finals games in his career where he's looked kind of unsure of what he wants to do.
So Caitlin Clark's interesting. I've made it clear I think she should make the team. But I said we're all a little morally flexible. I am. We're all hypocrites. Every politician's a hypocrite. You sign a bill that you don't believe in, but you're trying to get it on another. You know, we all know the game.
Sure.
But there is a certain hypocrisy with the WNBA. For years, they complained about second-class travel. Nobody's paying attention to us. And why don't we make more money? So Caitlin Clark's already solved the attention thing, has helped briefly with the travel. We know at the end of Olympic rosters, it gets subjective and political. But if you're going to complain, if my son complained, he's not there yet, but at 25 he complained, Dad, I don't care. And then he did and he said, well, I don't like the hours. I'd say, time out. I heard you complain about that. A lot of what they complained about was attention, travel, and salaries. And, like, even Mahomes doesn't get everything. Tyreek Hill has to go. Brady took pay cuts. Like, I don't think squeezing Caitlin into the Olympic team is giving up a lot for what she provides, is it?
So this is, to me, I very rarely feel I think going both sides on things is typically a cop-out. I think this is a rare instance where I think there is a credible argument on each side of the equation. The credible argument on her not being on the team is a very simple one. As from a merit perspective, she's not one of the 12 best. That it is not a long argument. It is a simple argument. If we want to put our 12 best out there, she's not there yet. But it is not as simple as that because, if we are being fair, from a merit perspective, Diana Taurasi is no longer one of the 12 best, and she has a roster spot. Now, also say, I think correctly, she's earned it. Yeah. She is maybe the greatest women's player of all time. They want to put her in another Olympic. She has identical, all same points, rebounds, field goal percentage as Caitlin this year. Caitlin turns it over way more, and but also has way more assists. Their seasons, you put them side by side, it's jarring how similar they are. And you put Diana on, in my opinion, for non-basketball reasons to a degree. You could do the same for Caitlin. Where I am not as worked up as seemingly everyone else is, I actually don't think it was going to, I don't think the eyeballs drawn was going to be so much different with or without Caitlin Clark on the roster, because even if she were on the roster, she would not be playing a ton. And where I do think there is some pushback from people who have been longstanding fans or members of the WNBA is are people more interested in the WNBA right now than they were, or are they exclusively and solely interested in Caitlin Clark? Is there an effect of our sport is getting more coverage, or is it something, I'm going to mix metaphors here, of, well, look at how many more people care about the NFL thanks to Taylor Swift. Well, okay, but are Chiefs and Travis Kelce, or all of a sudden do they have Brock Purdy takes? I don't know, and I don't even know if that necessarily matters. But I don't think the Caitlin Clark topic is cut and dry in either direction when it comes to the Olympic game. Here is my concern, though, Colin, because we're already seeing it. You have Nikki Haley, who might end up being the next vice president, for all I know, sending out a tweet talking almost demanding an investigation into why she's not on the roster. I think someone is going to, at a White House press conference, say, does President Biden have a comment on the Caitlin Clark snub? I think this is going to jump over into the political realm because this is so ripe for the culture war craven cretins that just want to, at its core, make this be, oh, this little white girl's getting picked on in a black league.
Yeah.
And it's going to become really gross in ways that Caitlin does not deserve and did not ask for. I also think, from a basketball perspective, quickly, I actually think this is really good for Caitlin Clark. And I think the Fever make the playoffs. You don't have to have a great record. Could this month off, plus the fact that the schedule softens, they have no more back-to-backs, lead to Caitlin Clark being excellent late in the season and this team sneaking into the WNBA playoffs, which would be far better for the league than her having a few cameos in the Olympics? I think so, and I actually think that's where this is going to go.
Finally, I thought you'd be struck with the irony in this. Aaron Rodgers made a point. He used profanity.
This is unbelievable.
Vanity.
This is unbelievable.
Profanity.
Go ahead. I can't wait for this.
When he said, any of this blankety blank non-football stuff, get it out of the building. Uh-huh. Yeah, minicamp starts. He's not in the building. He's at a non-football event. It was an unexcused absence. Are you struck with the irony of that?
I mean, this is why. So here's the thing. People get very mad at me because they say, when you talk Jets, when you talk Rodgers, I know you don't like some of his stances or you don't agree with him on certain things, but make it about football. You always talk about the other stuff. And my answer is, because with this iteration of Aaron Rodgers, the other to the football, to the point to where he double booked mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
That's what he did. Double booked. Oh, gosh darn. I knew there was something June 11th. Oh, what was it? First day of mandatory minicamp. Gonna have to miss one. Well, I guess I'm gonna miss the football. And It is so, you said all of us have a little bit of hypocrisy to us. This is a 5 standard deviations past what normal people would be okay with from a hypocritical perspective. And the fact that the Jets, I guess, give them credit, finally, for the first time, are standing up for themselves at all with Aaron, saying, no, it's not an excused absence. It is an unexcused absence. And I find it galling. And it would not be considered, and normally I would want to say, well, we don't know the circumstance. Like, if somebody was just missing and it was last minute, things happen. People give birth, someone's in a hospital. I get that. That's clearly not what this is. There were 2 events being held on June 11th, both of which Aaron Rodgers felt the need to attend, and he chose this other one over the Jets' mandatory minicamp. And to do that 2 weeks after, I wouldn't be playing if you didn't think you could win the Super Bowl and be league MVP. And 3 months after, you lectured the whole organization for not having its priorities right, for all of it. It's just so disingenuous. It is just so wildly disingenuous and do as I say, not as I do. And I don't know how anyone can think it's going to get better from here for the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't, everyone tried to just pretend the fact that he openly considered running for vice president as well, since he's not doing it, there's nothing to worry about now. The fact that that was on the board told you all you needed to know about his level of commitment to this football team at this point in his career. I think it's absolutely pitch perfect that he can't be bothered to attend minicamp. It's just perfect.
One of his better appearances. I you know, you straddled the fence on the Olympic thing, but not really. I mean, you had a...
I didn't straddle the fence. Well, sometimes they're smart. Listen, here's who I think's wrong, Colin.
All right.
And that you might... I'm not sure if you...
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nashville, Bahamas.